Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to dnewman.org, the 20th of June. June's flying, we tell you every day. It's going away in July, the dog days of summer, just about here. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do today, and we're going to get right to it. Immigration, the last couple of shows, and it's because it's top of mind with everybody. Every newscast you hear, every news commentator, every morning show, every midday show, every nighttime news show, the analysts, they're all talking about illegal immigration. And of course, the topic that is the hottest right now is children being separated from their parents at the southern border. So in this show, in the first segment, we're going to talk about immigration truths and give you some facts that are being misrepresented by most of the mainstream media, especially those on the left. And in the second part, we're going to look at some immigration law specific to the last 25 or 30 years here in the U.S. It's amazing to me. Social media is hot as a firecracker with things that are wrong, things that are just simply not true. And it is so emotional because children are involved. Nobody wants children to be separated from their parents. Nobody wants children to suffer in any way. Everybody with a heart loves children. But you know what? So do child smugglers, child pornographers, and sex traffickers that concentrate on children. We have a lot of responsibility. We've got to get out of the emotional mode and get into the fact mode. So let's get right to it. We're going to look at some immigration truths. Four facts. About the current screaming and hollering that's going on about the immigration policies that are sometimes separating children from parents, from adults, at the southern border, and exactly what's going on. The Trump administration, as you know, is taking a lot of heat from both Democrats and Republicans for doing that, separating parents and children after they illegally cross the southern border. And the key word there is illegally. Over the 6 weeks from April 19th through the last day of May, federal officials separated about 2,000 children from their families at the U.S.-Mexican border. That's according to the Associated Press. President Trump blamed the procedures on Democrats in Congress. He said, they're obstructing. They're really obstructionist, and they are obstructing, Trump said Monday at the White House. The U.S. will not be a migrant camp, and it will not be a refugee holding facility. It simply won't be. The president continued, if you look at what's happening in Europe, if you look at what's happening in other places, we can't allow that to happen in the United States. Not on my watch, he said. And I got to be honest with you, I agree with him. We got to fix this problem. During the White House press briefing on Monday, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen said this, and if you remember, I played yesterday on our podcast her entire speech at the press briefing. She said this. This is a very serious issue that has resulted after years and years of Congress not taking action. So what I thought we'd do is look at four of the more questionable claims that are being made by a bunch of different people about the enforcement action that's being taken regarding illegal immigrants at the southern border. Let's look at number one, Democrats' law or Trump's policy? Good question. The Democrats forced that law upon our nation, Trump asserted last week. Democrats, backed by some media commentators, counter that it's not the law, but simply a Trump administration policy. Actually, experts say it's a combination of a bipartisan law and a Clinton administration policy. In 1997, the Clinton administration entered into something called the Flores Settlement Agreement, which ended a class action lawsuit that was first brought way back in the 1980s. The settlement of that lawsuit established a policy that the federal government would release unaccompanied minors from custody to their parents, relatives, or other caretakers after no more than 20 days, or determine the least restrictive setting for the child. In a separate incident in 08, the Democrat-controlled Congress approved bipartisan legislation to combat human trafficking, and President George W. Bush signed it into law. Section 235G of that law, the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act. Boy, that's a mouthful. That section states that unaccompanied minors coming into the U.S. must be transferred to the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement rather than to the Department of Homeland Security. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit expanded the Flory settlement in 2016, and they made it include children brought to the country illegally by their parents. To be consistent between the provision of the anti-trafficking law and the Ninth Circuit's interpretation of the Flores Agreement, children who came into the country illegally with parents had to be taken into HHS custody. That's according to Art Arthur, former General Counsel for Immigration and Naturalization Services, now known, that was the INS then, now it's known as the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, as well as a former federal immigration judge. They both agreed on that determination. As soon as their parents are detained, the children are classified as unaccompanied. Arthur, now a resident fellow for law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies, told the Daily Signal. That's number one. What's number two? Unprecedented action by the Trump administration. That's what pundits are claiming. Some media outlets have called the practice of separating children from parents at the border unprecedented or a new low for the United States. There is no doubt it is emotional and it brings out the worst and the best in everybody that loves kids. What's different under the Trump administration, though, is that zero tolerance approach to enforcing existing immigration laws and policy. Now, you can get into a debate on whether zero tolerance is appropriate, should be implemented, should not be implemented, especially in the case of immigration involving separation of kids from parents and relatives. You can get into that argument, but that doesn't change the facts. The law is the law. Let's go on. On May 7th this year in Scottsdale, Attorney General Jeff Sessions directed federal prosecutors there to prosecute all adults who illegally enter the country, including those accompanied by their children, under a provision of federal law, and I'm going to give you the law here, and you can look it up later, 8 U.S.C. 1325A. That's 8 U.S.C. 1325A. That covers illegal entry. It's a law, folks. Quote, if you're smuggling a child, then we're going to prosecute you, and that child will be separated from you, probably as required by law, A.G. Sessions said in that speech in Scottsdale. If you don't want your child separated, then don't bring them across the border illegally. It's not our fault that somebody does that. Since it takes more than 20 days to adjudicate an asylum claim, the Ninth Circuit's interpretation of the Flores Settlement Agreement essentially provides three options. That's according to David Insera, a Homeland Security policy analyst for the Heritage Foundation. He said the Trump administration currently faces two options, either release every family that crosses the border and claims asylum and know that most of them will never show up at their immigration hearing, or release the child as required by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals interpretation of the Flores settlement while holding the parents who are awaiting trial. A third better solution, he says, is to fix the loophole created by the Ninth Circuit with regards to Flores and do that by improving the asylum process to discourage frivolous asylum claims while also better serving those that have legitimate asylum cases. Proposed legislation by House Speaker Paul Ryan would reverse the Ninth Circuit's interpretation, and, you know, that's okay. You can do something like that if you're the legislature. The problem is our Congress, members of Congress, are hesitant to make law, and when they craft law, they make it as loose as possible. Why do they do that? To be politically correct, to pander to their particular political party. And they throw the responsibility for the law and the details of the law into the court system. Why not just be careful up front? Almost all of them are lawyers. They know the law. They know how to draft contracts and draft legislation. And believe me, they got plenty of money up there that we're sending up there for them to use to get it done and get it done right. Proposed legislation would reverse the Ninth Circuit interpretation. This would mean only a brief period of separation while the parents are being prosecuted. Depending on the outcome, the family would then be reunited and either be released or deported together. But folks, it would be done according to the law. What's the third thing? Are there really concentration camps? Michael Hayden, oh my God, former CIA director, he created all kind of issues. Much of the criticism of separating children from parents at the borders has come from Democrats. However, CIA director Hayden, who served under President George W. Bush, and also former Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele, who was once Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, both compared the practice going on now, separating kids from adults. They compared it to Nazi concentration camps. One of the most ridiculous comparisons and analogies that I've heard in this illegal immigration uproar. Folks, that's a disservice to the millions of Jewish people who were slaughtered in concentration camps during World War II. Hitler annihilated them. There are no kids in these deportation facilities along the southern border that are being treated like Jews in concentration camps. We have high standards, Secretary Nielsen said during that briefing on Monday. We give them meals, we give them education, we give them medical care, there are videos, there are TVs. In the last fiscal year, 90% of apprehended kids were released to a sponsor, 90%. They were released to a sponsor who was either a parent or close relative. That's according to the department's statistics. Homeland Security officials also say they work with HHS to improve and ease communication between those detained parents and their children in HHS care while the parents' cases are being adjudicated. Sponsors may be a parent, adult sibling, relative, or appropriate home that meets criteria for the safety of the child and the continuation of any immigration proceedings. That's according to the DHS. Also, a parent who is prosecuted and later released can be a sponsor and ask HHS to restore custody of the child. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has dedicated a facility to operate primarily as a family reunification and removal center. ICE staff who interact with those parents receive training in trauma-informed care. The agency assigns staff trained in mental health care to detained parents who have been separated from children. And the final thing we need to fact check, number four, taking babies from nursing mothers. Everybody has heard the story about a baby being snatched from a mother while the baby was nursing. CNN reported it, and that was about an illegal immigrant from Honduras who claimed her nursing daughter was pulled away from her before she was handcuffed. CNN cited a lawyer from a liberal legal group called the Texas Civil Rights Project. And of course, CNN didn't see the incident. They just reported it. And if CNN says it, it's got to be gospel, right? In a conference call with reporters last week, a senior Department of Homeland Security official said this was not the case. That official said, "We do not separate breastfeeding children from their parents. That does not exist. That is not a policy." Again, that is not a policy, and it does not exist. This is not something the DHS does. We believe that is totally false. An estimated 14,500 to 17,500 individuals are smuggled into the U.S. each year. Put that in perspective, that number constitutes about 5.7% of total apprehensions of illegal immigrants in 2017, though apprehensions don't account for all border crossings. Why can't we just get the facts? Get the facts out there so everybody can talk about the facts and understand the facts instead of just relying on pure, raw emotion. I just don't know. There's a whole lot of immigration law. We're going to look at it in the second half of this podcast at dnewman.org. Sit tight.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mmm.
How about China?
Mmm.
Germany?
Mmm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mmm.
Or Mars?
Mmm.
What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers? Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton Green Tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton Tea can do that.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every news story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of dnewman.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
And boy, this chapter of immigration follows the first couple this week, and it is definitely relevant. I don't know of another news story that's any bigger. Maybe congressional hearings continuing with Inspector General Michael Horowitz, but I just don't know. Immigration law, its definitions, and all kind of stuff that go along with this illegal crossings and how the American government is treating illegals at the southern border is on everybody's mind. So let's briefly talk about immigration law. You know, something in this whole immigration thing that we haven't discussed, it hasn't really been brought up, is what about determining deportations? How and when and what the particulars are and the reasoning for deporting people that are already here. Well, let's look at it. If you don't have a visa, a green card, or a citizen in the United States and are currently living in the country, you're subject to deportation. You're breaking the law. Real simple. Getting deported is a very serious aspect of immigration law, you can imagine. It's the process of the U.S. government removing illegal immigrants from the country. Deportation may eliminate your ability to secure a visa in the future. The U.S. government may deport you for the following reasons. Listen up. If you enter the U.S. while being deemed legally inadmissible by the immigration laws of the federal government, you can be deported. Entering the country without a legal visa. Failure to renew a conditional permanent residency visa. Aiding an illegal immigrant while entering the country. Conviction of a criminal offense. Endangering national or public security. The biggest one is failure to renew a conditional permanent residency visa. Most of the illegals in the United States fall into that category. They get a temporary visa. When it's time and it expires and it's got to be renewed, they don't go get it done. And the final one, you can be deported for participating in a fraudulent marriage for the purpose of securing an immigrant visa. The Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952, is known as the McCarran-Walter Act, eliminated all race-based quotas for immigrants, replacing them with purely nationality-based quotas. The INA continues to influence the field of American immigration law. To enforce the quotas, the INA created the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Remember that? It's INS. It's now ICE. The INS served as a federal agency that enforced those caps for the remainder of the 20th century. When Congress passed this law, it defined an alien as any person lacking citizenship or status as a national of the U.S. Categories of aliens include resident, non-resident, immigrant, and non-immigrant, and documented and undocumented or illegal. The terms documented and undocumented refer to whether an arriving alien has the proper records and identification for admission into the U.S. Having the proper records and ID typically requires the alien to possess a valid unexpired passport and either a visa, border crossing ID card, permanent resident card, or a re-entry permit. The INA has expressly refused stowaway aliens' entry into the U.S. The need to stop illegal immigration prompted Congress to enact the Immigration Reform and Control Act, that's IRCA, back in 1986. The IRCA toughened criminal sanctions for employers who hired illegal aliens, denied illegal aliens federally funded welfare, and legitimized some aliens through an amnesty program. Ronald Reagan made a lot of noise back then and did something unilaterally that really made about half the country happy and it angered about half the country. The Immigration Marriage Fraud Amendments of 86 sought to limit the practice of marrying to obtain citizenship. The Immigration Act of 1990 revamped the INA. It equalized the allocation of visas across foreign nations, eliminating the old rules and encouraging worldwide immigration instead. The Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act of 1996 revolutionized the process of alien entry into the U.S. It eliminated the term entry and replaced it with admission. An application for admission occurs whenever an alien arrives in the U.S., regardless of whether the arrival occurs at a designated port of entry. Applicants at either designated ports or otherwise must submit to an inspection by U.S. Customs, even if the applicant has an immigrant visa. It also employs the term arriving alien to describe applicant aliens attempting to enter the U.S., regardless of whether they arrive at a designated port, a non-designated port on the border, or are located in U.S. waters and brought to shore. And then, of course, came 9/11. Twin Towers in New York City came down and the world changed, and boy, along with it, immigration changed. On March 1st of 03, DHS opened and replaced the INS. The Bush administration designed the Department of Homeland Security to foster increased intelligence sharing and dialogue between agencies responsible for responding to domestic emergencies such as natural disasters and domestic terrorism. All of a sudden, we have domestic terrorism in the U.S. Within the department, three different agencies, U.S. Customs and Border Enforcement, that's CBE, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE. They now handle the duties formerly held by the INS. Currently, the CBE handles the INS Border Patrol duties. The USCIS handles the INS naturalization, asylum, and permanent residence functions. And ICE handles the INS's deportation, intelligence, and investigatory functions. Now we're getting to where we really live right now. Refugee and asylum seekers. All the way back in 1980, the Refugee Act defines the U.S. laws relating to refugee immigrants. Under that act, now this is a law, folks. This is something that has been in place since 1980. The term refugee refers to aliens with a fear of persecution upon returning to their homeland, stemming from their religion, race, nationality, membership in certain social groups, or political opinions. Anyone who delivers a missing American POW or MIA soldier receives refugee status from the U.S. That's kind of an interesting tidbit. The U.S., however, denies refugee status to any alien who actively persecuted individuals of a certain race, political opinion, religion, nationality, or members of a certain social group. As a matter of public policy, the government also refuses refugee applicants previously convicted of murder. For refugees who have firmly resettled in another country, the U.S. denies a request for refugee admission. The government considers refugees firmly resettled if they have received an offer of citizenship, permanent residency, or some other permanent status from a foreign country. Under international law, the Geneva Convention, or the laws of the United States, foreign citizens who have become disillusioned with their homeland cannot take temporary refuge within the United States. The Refugee Act of 1980 specifically leaves out temporary refugee as a form of refugee status that the U.S. government will recognize. To qualify for refugee status under the persecution provision, the refugee applicant must prove actual fear. A proof of actual fear requires meeting both a subjective and an objective test. Now, this is where it gets kind of gray and hazy, and you need to hang in here with me. Your understanding of this immigration law is very critical so you can get a clear picture of what's going on at the southern border and why, what should be and what shouldn't be happening. And when we get into objective and subjective, it just really gets tough. The lines get blurred, and everybody asks a question. What does that, whatever that is, what does that really mean? The subjective test requires that the refugee actually have an honest fear of being persecuted for some immutable trait like a religion, race, or nationality. Seekers of asylum must show a fear that membership in a social or political group has caused past persecution or has caused a well-founded fear that persecution will occur if they return. The applicant meets the objective standard, by showing credible and direct evidence that a reasonable possibility of persecution exists upon the applicant's return to the homeland. The president retains the ultimate decision-making authority when determining the number of refugees to allow into the country during any given year. This subjective and objective determination of persecution and a reason for asylum, got to be honest with you, it's impossible to determine who really is and who isn't. One thing's certain, we don't want people that need to be here because of persecution to be turned away. And while we're talking, what about DACA? Deferred action, or DACA, is an administrative relief from deportation. DHS temporarily authorizes non-U.S. citizens to remain here. Through deferred action, a non-U.S. citizen can apply for employment authorization for the duration of their temporary stay. Recipients of deferred action grants, though, cannot claim lawful status during that time, but they're considered lawfully present here in the U.S. In other words, they're not going to get kicked out if they are legally here. They are not accruing unlawful presence either, which could later render them unable to come back to the U.S., and then when they apply for permanent legal status, it would be denied. DHS grants deferred action on a case-by-case basis. In June of 2012, the Obama administration introduced the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. The program was to grant deferred action to those under 31 as of June 15th of 2012 who came to the U.S. before their 16th birthday and stayed here without lawful status since at least June 15th of 07. The policy rationale was to prevent deportation of young adults and children who grew up as Americans, yet they did not come here by themselves or voluntarily. They were brought by their parents. In November of 2014, President Obama announced a series of executive actions to address illegal immigration and to prioritize deporting felons and not families. The executive action expanded the DACA program by lengthening the period from 2 to 3 years, removed the age requirement, and eased the continuous residency requirement. The executive actions also introduced the new Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, DAPA, D-A-P-A program. That one permits parents of U.S. citizens or legal permanent residents to apply for deferred action if they've stayed here in the U.S. since January 1st of 2010 and had a U.S. citizen or LPR child as of November 20th of 2014. The expanded DACA and DAPA programs are on hold due to a pending Supreme Court case, that's the United States versus Texas. USCIS is not currently accepting applications for the expanded DACA or DAPA programs. Now let's look at what happened regarding separation of children illegal immigrants in the Obama administration. In his second term, apprehension of illegal immigrants was stepped up and stepped up very dramatically. That obviously brought children further into the conversation, and that conversation's just got louder and louder and includes more and more people. Many unaccompanied minors were used as pawns to allow adults who were not their parents or guardians to get into the U.S. As can be expected, the media raised the cries then against Obama that they're now launching at President Trump. Same screaming, same hollering. They even termed President Obama, you may have forgotten this, they called him the deportation president or the deporter in chief. His press secretary, Josh Earnest, said after a very aggressive illegal immigration program was initiated, quote, "Some operations have taken place that have been focused on individuals, deporting individuals that have recently crossed the border. That is consistent with the kinds of enforcement priorities that the president and the Secretary of Homeland Security discussed more than a year ago. He said that at a daily briefing for reporters in the White House. Certainly, people should take from this the understanding that the administration is quite serious about enforcing our immigration laws. I can hear Sarah Sanders, the current press secretary, saying almost the identically same thing in press briefings in this, the Trump White House press briefings. Johnson said the batch of deportees were among immigrants who crossed the southern border illegally since May of 2014. That's when the U.S. started seeing a surge of families and unaccompanied children from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. No longer just Mexico. Central Americans on the way. And by the way, on their way, they all went through Mexico, which is deemed to be a safe country in relation to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Why wouldn't they just stop and ask for asylum in Mexico? Good question. Officials say such crossings decreased by early last year, but began to pick up in recent months. The Obama administration officials expressed concern with the spike in the number of families and unaccompanied children apprehended at the southern border, especially since illegal migration tends to slow down during cold months last year in the fall. In October and November of 2015, just over 12,500 families were caught, compared with 4,577 during the same 2 months in 2014. Meanwhile, 10,588 unaccompanied children were apprehended at the southern border in October and November of 2015, according to federal officials, more than double the number of minors who tried to cross into the U.S. during the same period a year earlier, 2014. The proposals to increase deportations appear to have stirred some dissent within the Obama administration. Just before Christmas, his last year in office, unnamed people familiar with the operation disclosed the plans to the Washington Post. Uh-oh, the Obama administration had leakers. How about that? It was a highly unusual leak at the time about planned law enforcement actions. The disclosure of those raids drew immediate criticism from Democratic presidential candidates. Remember these guys? Senator Bernie Sanders and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, both presidential candidates, condemned the actions, while Hillary issued a more muted statement through a spokeswoman who said Clinton had real concerns about the plans. Word of the planned raids also highlight a political predicament for Clinton, who endorsed a quick return of illegal immigrant children in 2014, but in 2016 was trying to court Latino voters. And so there you go, folks. Some immigration history about laws, how we got where we are, and what President Trump is now facing, what was handed to him that was passed before him from Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter passed it along to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan to George H.W. Bush. Bush 41 to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton to Bush 43. Bush 43 to Obama. And now Obama to President Trump. It's about time, folks, that we get something resolved. It's about time we get some laws passed that have some teeth in them. It's about time to quit using these kids, using these illegal immigrants as pawns for political purposes. It's about time to be human, to be humane, to be Americans, to be Christians. Yep, this is a Christian nation, no matter what they say. Christian principles undergird this nation at its founding and ever since. And we've got to take care of kids and widows according to the Bible. Taking care of kids is making sure our kids and immigrant kids get taken care of. We just need for immigrants to begin to come to the U.S. legally. All the time. It's time for all the noise to stop. It's time for all the illegal activity to stop. It's time for Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Take all these questions out of the equation. Stop all of the brutality. Stop all the stories of brutality that are not real. And get us back on the right track. Supposedly, got at least two bills that are supposed to come to the floor of the House of Representatives this week to be debated and voted on that, according to pundits, either would primarily fix this problem, at least almost all of it, but all of it at least temporarily, especially taking care of the kids. Congress, act. Do what you were sent to Washington, D.C. to do and pass some immigration. In April, Mitch McConnell, leader of the Senate, said they were finished doing anything significant until after the election. Get off your duffs. Get something done. Thank you all for tuning in to dnewman.org. We'll see you next time.
Just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. But always get the truth about right and wrong here at dnewman.org.